looking at some introductory matters that would prepare the way for us to understand and appreciate biblical eschatology, and also some of the various interpretations related to the doctrine of the last things. But from today, we will be looking at some very specific topics. If my understanding is correct, I don't think we have ever dealt with this topic here in ELBC, even though I have taken eschatology two times before. We have not really looked into the topic of the Great Tribulation. All of us have some understanding of what the Great Tribulation is all about. And there are differing theories about the Great Tribulation and various interpretations also. But we want to look into the scripture and see the real nature of the Great Tribulation. What is it all about? In one word, I can say that Great Tribulation will be the time period of the last stage of human history. It will be the most dangerous time and the most terrible time in human history. It will be the end, almost the end of planet Earth. So what does the Bible say about it? What is the Great Tribulation? Now, something about the word tribulation. Is there a difference between tribulation and Great Tribulation? When we use the word tribulation or Great Tribulation in relation to prophecy or eschatology, we are thinking about the about a major end time event, prophetic event, and a time in which a concentrated calamity that will come upon the world unlike anything that has happened before. So an unprecedented time of calamity and God's judgment coming upon the world, upon the nations, and upon Israel, and upon all those who will be living during that time. And it is that time period we call in Bible prophecy as the Great Tribulation. The Bible uses the word tribulation and Great Tribulation. So there are a couple of differing views in relation to it. Number one, tribulation is the entire seven-year period immediately after the rapture. That is one view. The other view is, since in the Bible, we will look into some of those verses later, in the book of Revelation and in the book of Daniel, we find that the Great Tribulation seven-year period is divided into two halves of 1,260 days each, or 3.5 years. So the first 3.5 years, many prophetic scholars call as the tribulation, and the last 3.5 years is called the Great Tribulation. The reason is the intensity of the judgments will be more severe in the second half of the tribulation days. So that is the reason that many would prefer to call the use the word Great Tribulation for the second half. But if you prefer to call the entire time period tribulation or Great Tribulation, there is nothing essentially wrong in that. So we will turn to Matthew's Gospel chapter 24. Matthew's Gospel 24. Matthew 24 and 25 are called the Olivet Discourse. The Olivet Discourse. That is the Lord's most detailed prophetic speech or discourse he has ever given. And in chapter 24, verse 3, Matthew 24, 3, we read, "Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age. And the rest of the chapter, followed by chapter 25, is an answer to that question. And what is the question? What will be the sign of your coming? It is not about the rapture. It is about Jesus Christ as the Messiah of Israel coming to establish his kingdom. Because in the Jewish prophetic aspiration and in their Jewish understanding, their only understanding about the coming is the coming of the Messiah to set up the millennial kingdom. The doctrine of the rapture is later taught in the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, in John's Gospel chapter 14, is the first time he mentioned about the rapture. So for the Old Testament saints, or even for the disciples, before the Lord's teaching in the upper room in John 14, they don't have an understanding anything about the rapture. Even if the Lord said that, probably in their mind, all that is looming large about the end of the days is probably not the rapture. It is the second coming of their king to establish their kingdom. Now, a very good example is Acts chapter 1, verse 5. You know, even after the resurrection of Christ, just before his ascension, as the Lord was talking to them, what did they say? The disciples said, by the way, it's everything, you know, you are risen, you are a victorious king. By the way, tell us, you know, when will you restore us the kingdom? That is our aspiration. That is our dream. And that is what we are looking for. So then the Lord said, don't worry about that now. You shall receive power from on high, and the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. That is what you should be doing now. Take the gospel, the kingdom that will come at the right time. So they were just thinking about their kingdom. So this question also is like that, you know, when are you coming to establish your kingdom and of the end of the age? And in verse 9, the Lord, you know, started the prophetic discourse, chapters 24, 25. Parallel passages are Matthew, Mark 13 and Luke 21. You know, Luke 21 and Mark 13, almost parallel passages to chapters to Matthew's Gospel 24 and 25. But Matthew has the most detailed version of this prophetic discourse. In verse 7, 24:7, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation. That is the word, tribulation. Then look at verse 21, Matthew 24:21. For then there will be great tribulation. And the Lord mentioned great tribulation in relation to verse 15. Look at verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. So many prophetic scholars interpret verse 15 happening in the second half of the tribulation time, and that is the time when the Antichrist will set up an idol in the temple in Jerusalem and demand worship. So that is abomination of desolation. So that is the beginning of the great tribulation. Thlipsis megale, the Lord used the word mega, megale, great tribulation. So my own personal view will be that is the second half of the tribulation will be the great tribulation. But the tribulation will start immediately after the rapture of the church, and there will be persecution and there will be suffering for God's people, the nation Israel, and also for all those who are living at that time, for the entire humanity. And those who receive the Lord during the tribulation time, we will study about salvation in tribulation next week. You know, they will be delivered up to tribulation and they will be martyred as the Lord predicted in chapter verse 9. So, tribulation and great tribulation. So, what is great tribulation? It is a major end-time prophetic event of concentrated calamity coming upon the world, unlike anything that has come before or will come ever after. Now, some verses, Matthew 24, 21, for then there will be great tribulation. Now, the word translated tribulation comes from the Greek verb thlibo, means to press or to squeeze. So, it is the basic idea is applying pressure. So, it talks about the intensity of distress and anguish. Another way this word is translated is affliction. Affliction, distress, and tribulation. Basically, the same idea. It is not just agony. It is not just pain. It is the intensity, very much pressurized intensity, and distress and anguish. So that is the word. In Matthew 24, 21, for then there will be great tribulation. For then, so the Lord is talking about a future time period associated with the end of the age and the coming of the Son of Man in glory to establish his kingdom. He's not talking about the church age. He's not talking about the persecution and hostilities through which we go through today. It is not about the trials of life. It is not about the hostilities and persecution of the anti-Christian governments against Christians. No. The Lord is talking about then, a future time period, there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. Unprecedented. It is unique. There is nothing parallel to this event. It is incomparable. Parallel passage, Mark 13, 19, for in those days there will be tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the creation which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. Again, in those days. Again, it is pointing to a future time associated with the end of the age and coming of the Son of Man. And many prophecies will be fulfilled during that time. Now, another very important verse, Jeremiah 30, verse 7, alas, for that day, again, that day is great so that none is like it. I want to read that verse so that there is the next part of the verse is also very important. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it, and it is the time of Jacob's trouble. It is not the church's trouble. It has special significance to Israel. Okay? So, this time period is called Jacob's trouble. In dispensational interpretation of the scriptures, we believe that when we put all the verses together, it becomes very evident that the church will be raptured before this because it is a specific time period in which Israel will be tested and God's judgment will come upon the Christ-rejecting nations of the world. So it is Jacob's trouble. Jacob's trouble. Great tribulation equals Jacob's trouble. It has specific significance to Israel. But look at the last part of verse 7, Jeremiah 30, verse 7. But he shall be saved out of it. The Messiah will come and will deliver Israel out of that terrible time of distress. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. There are numerous verses in the Old Testament, but I'm highlighting some of the more familiar ones. At that time, there shall be a time of trouble. Daniel chapter 12 is talking about the end time, you know. And Daniel, the angel reminded Daniel that at that time, there shall be a time of trouble for your people. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, 29, 30, and 31. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then, so towards the end of the tribulation, there will be more calamities in the stellar space. You know, astronomical bodies will be shaken. And moon will not give light, sun will be darkened, and there will be other signs in the heavens. Then, at that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. He will send his angels, they will gather together the elect. So, immediately after the rapture, the tribulation period begins. After the 3.5 years, when the Antichrist sets up his own image, probably as an idol in the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem temple at that time, then that is the abomination of desolation. That is the mark of, that is the beginning of the great tribulation, the intense period of trial and trouble and distress and judgment. And at the end of the tribulation period, we read here, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. As we read in Daniel 2 and Daniel 7, the Son of Man, the Messiah coming to establish his kingdom. In Luke 21, parallel chapter to Matthew 24, Luke 21, 25, 26, signs in the sun, moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, the distress of nations, men's heart failing them from fear. That's a very powerful statement. You know, men's heart failing them from fear. A very graphic description of the fear and anxiety and worry in the lives of people during that time. And the word is a very powerful word. Let me see. J.N. Darby translation. Men ready to die through fear. World in a panic mode. And when all these judgments will be poured out upon the world, the word of God tells that men's heart will fail from fear. Men ready to die through fear. People will faint from terror. So the word of terror and terrorism also can be seen here. Now, we have seen some of the recent events when, like America as a nation, we fainted from fear on 9/11 because of terrorism. You know, and many other countries also who have gone through that. Even though we are the most powerful nation on earth, 9/11, that day was a helpless day. Our superpower and our military, nobody could save our country, and it was a terrible day in our history. And that continues even today, even the Middle East, in Europe, and even in India, in many places, you know. So people will faint from terror. So a lot of terrorizing will happen in those days in the future. And we have had some samples of it in recent history. And at the end of it, the Son of Man will come in power and in glory. The judgment and the calamities of those days is the subject of much Old Testament prophecies. In Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, you know, Zechariah, I have mentioned some specific verses there, but throughout the prophetic scriptures, the day of the Lord is a synonymous term for the tribulation days. Of course, the day of the Lord extends more than the tribulation, but the tribulation days are also a part of the day of the Lord, day of judgment, day of calamity, a day when God's wrath will be poured out upon this earth. And we find several numerous chapters in the Old Testament prophecy talking about that. And the entire book of Revelation, especially from chapters 6 through 19, talk about that time period, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So we can say that it is a unique time of tribulation in the future. Okay? The intensity of calamity will be unprecedented. It will be culminated by the coming of the Son of Man in glory. It will be accompanied by celestial signs and distress of nations. It will be a period of wrath, judgment, destruction, desolation, and darkness. It will be the darkest hour in human history. The Antichrist will rule the world during this time. So here we have the nature of the tribulation period, okay? The nature of the tribulation period. So I hope now we know what is the tribulation. Now, the reason I wanted all of us to clearly know what is the tribulation, the nature of it, because those who believe that the church will go through tribulation, the post-tribulational view, very fine Christians, fine Bible scholars, you know, very esteemed servants of God, there are many who believe that the church will go through tribulation. We believe in pre-tribulation, before. You know, before the tribulation, church will be raptured. But there are some who believe the church will go through the tribulation period, post-tribulation. Now, their main argument, you will find that all over the internet, in many sermons and teaching, even by very fine Bible teachers, you know. And their argument is this, that is, the church is always in suffering. We are passing through the tribulation now. Ever since the first century until today, the church has been going through terrible time of tribulation. Look at all the Roman emperors who persecuted the church. And even after that, look at the suffering through which the Jewish people have gone through. Look at the Christians around the world persecuted. And look at the personal trials and distress through which all of us go through. So they equate that to the tribulation. So they say, we all go through it for the last 2,000 years. Then they bring out that verse, John's Gospel chapter 16, verse 33. You know, you have trials and troubles in this world, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That is their conclusion, see? So it is very easy to convince many people who do not really have not studied the nature of the tribulation to believe that. That is why many have subscribed to that view. So it is number one, it is a future time period. The tribulation is a future time period. It has nothing to do with the present age, and also the present age suffering cannot be compared to this future time period. But throughout the Word of God, we find that God's people will go through suffering and difficulties and trials in their life. You know, in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, Apostle Paul reminded the believers that through many tribulations, you will enter the kingdom of God. But the difference is that is not this tribulation. So it is very important for us to know this distinction. That is very, very important. When the Bible talks about great tribulation or tribulation, it is talking about a specific future time period associated with the judgment of God, culminating in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to establish his kingdom. So when you understand that, then you know that the present day tribulation and trials and persecutions have nothing to do with this time period. Now, what is the purpose of the tribulation? The purpose of the tribulation, number one, is to it is the time of Jacob's trouble. So it is to prepare Israel for the coming of the Messiah. Israel is in spiritual blindness. They have rejected their Messiah, but God has not forsaken them. But today, in this dispensation, the Lord is building his church, and he has postponed his program for Israel. So Israel is not rejected. The land promised to Israel, the throne promised to Israel, and all the spiritual promises made to Israel, to Abraham and to David and to their children, will be literally fulfilled. And for that, all the covenants God has made with Israel will be fulfilled. But it is not getting fulfilled today. There is a time period for that in the future. But today, after the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Jewish nation, in Matthew 16, the king announced a new program. I will build my church. So today, he is building the church, which was inaugurated on the day of Pentecost and which will be concluded on the day of the rapture. When that program is completed, he will again deal with Israel. And through the great tribulation, he will prepare the nation for the coming of the Messiah. That is why it is the time of Jacob's trouble. In Daniel 12, we read, at that time, your people. So your people have something, your people has a special significance during that time period. And we read about the 70 weeks of Daniel, the great prophecy of the 70 weeks in Daniel chapter 9. And the 70th week, you know, each week is a 7-year period. The 70th week is the great tribulation time. And that Daniel himself, in the book of Daniel, we read how that time period is divided into two. Further, the same division is found in the book of Revelation also. The first prophecy of the great tribulation is found in Deuteronomy 4:30. Now, as far as I can think, you know, this would be the first prophecy. Let us just read that. Moses' words to the nation Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30. This is considered to be the first prophecy of the great tribulation through which Israel will go through, and God will prepare them to receive their Messiah after their spiritual blindness is over and their spiritual their unbelief. God will deliver them from their unbelief. 4:30. When you are in distress, that is the word again, when you are in distress or tribulation, and all these things come upon you, that is, all the trials and difficulties and all the judgment of God, when in the latter days. So it is not talking about the current events that are happening in the Middle East. It will all prepare the way for it. But it is not talking about Israel's history from 1948 or so. No, it is preparing the way for that. But Moses said, in the latter days, in the last days, when you go through, all these things will come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice. At the end of it, you will turn to your God. You will go through all this distress, but at the end, God will deliver you and you will turn to Him. So, one of the purposes of the tribulation is to prepare Israel for the coming of the Messiah. Then the other purpose is to judge the nations, to judge the Christ-rejecting Gentile nations who have persecuted Israel and also God's church all these years, and God's judgment will be poured out on them. The extent of the tribulation, it will be worldwide scope. You know, it will be worldwide. And when Jesus talked about the end times in Luke's Gospel chapter 21, he mentioned those days will be like the days of Noah. And the flood came and took them away in judgment. So the Lord said, the end time tribulation will be like that. That means the flood came, but it was not localized, it was a universal flood. In the same way, God's judgment will come upon the entire world. Now, one more very important truth in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 10. It's a very strong, this verse gives a strong argument for pre-tribulation rapture. Chapter 3, verse 10, Christ's message to the faithful church, Philadelphia. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial. So, the post-tribulation people will interpret this as the hour of persecution that they will endure, or they have endured during their existence as a church in Philadelphia. But look at the next part. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world. So it is not talking about a localized trial or trouble just for one church or a group of churches. The Lord is saying that you will not be here when the entire world will go through the hour of trial. I will keep you out of that trial, kept from the hour. You know, you will be kept from that hour of trial, which will come upon the whole world. So it is not localized. It is the entire world. What is the purpose? To test those who dwell on the earth. This is a judgment that will come upon those who dwell upon the earth, upon the earth dwellers. You know, in the book of Revelation, at least 11 times we read about earth dwellers. And earth dwellers are people, it is a technical term in the book of Revelation. Earth dwellers are people who have made this world their home. They want only this earth. And it is a technical term for unbelievers during the tribulation time. And it's a very good study. Who are the earth dwellers? And we will, God willing, look into that next week. So the purpose is primarily to prepare Israel to receive the Messiah and to pour God's judgment upon the Christ-rejecting world. And it will be a time of tribulation, not for the church age believers. They will be gone before that. It is a time not to test believers, but to test the earth dwellers, those who have made earth their home, those who persist in unbelief, and those who reject the Messiah. That is the significance of the term which frequently occurs nearly a dozen times in the book of Revelation. So the Lord has promised that we will be gone before this time period. But the Lord said, you will have tribulation in this world. And we go through that tribulation in a fallen world. Our aches and pains, our health issues, financial difficulties, our temptations, and all the other things through which the entire world is going through. We are also not exempted from that. But the Lord also promised, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And the promise to Philadelphia, I will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the entire world for what? To test those who dwell upon the earth. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for the eternal plan and purpose of God for the ages, and we know that it will be completely, meticulously, and perfectly fulfilled for the blessing of your people and for your glory. Sometimes today we feel we are victims, but we know that our Savior is the victorious Lord, ascended, glorified, victorious Christ. Pray that we also may live in the shadow of that victory, knowing that greater is the one who is in us than the one who is in the world. Send us with that hope and with that sense of victory. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.